What's up, guys? Welcome back to the show. I am absolutely stoked to be here with my friend Bree. I'm going to do a little intro of her first before we dive right in. But Bree is an incredible mentor. She helps women unapologetically, which you guys know how much I love that word, book out their business and their life. She's a mom of three and she owns a six-figure business. She is a master of prioritizing what matters and saying no to what doesn't, which I think we can all use a little bit of that. She's helped over 100 women launch and book out their businesses so far this year, and it's just getting started, which is why I wanted to have her on the show because you guys are going to love her fiery energy. She's also a New York Times bestseller, and she has been packing out them speaking gigs. So, Brie, what's up? We met in a mastermind, our energy is connected. We've been just having a ball there, and I knew I wanted to have you come on and just talk about all of the things, wealth, money, creating a dream life, business, all of that. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. So excited to be here. Okay, I have to add in future New York Times bestseller and speaking on packed out stages.
I mean, honestly, that's how I call myself that too. I'm like, oh yeah, like I'm a public figure. Like, oh yeah, like I'm a world-renowned speaker. Like, it's all about the self-concepts and being wildly fucking delusional. So I'm here for it.
Yes, absolutely. Wiring those neural pathways,
100%.
the identity.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk. You are a mom of three, and you also are running your business. And I think that there's definitely a lot of moms that listen to the show, but I feel like that's the first thing that I want to jam on because you do have to be a master at prioritizing your priorities, you know, and like actually focusing on what matters. So I would love to hear, like, how have you landed in that? Because I'm assuming at one point you were not focusing on what mattered, and that's what brought you to a place of prioritizing what does matter. So can you kind of talk to us about being a mom, being a business owner, and managing all of that?
Yeah, absolutely. That is a juicy topic to dive into. And I think a lot of it goes back to before I was a mom, I had this conception of priorities and what mattered. And I'm sure a lot of, like, you can relate, a lot of people that are listening in is when we were growing up, success and worth was very much defined, as I was taught, by like climbing the corporate ladder and raises and promotions and career. And so growing up before I had kids, it was like that was what I did. That was who I was. It was everything. And when I had my first baby, originally I did go back to my full-time job, a career that I'd built and was proud of. I made it 3 months, mascara stained, tear-soaked months, feeling like I was handing over my heart at daycare. And that was my first lesson, I think, in priorities and like what really matters in life. And I became a stay-at-home mom. And then that was like a whole nother journey of refinding and reconnecting with me as a woman within motherhood. And even it's so fascinating of every kid that I've had has been this rebirth of who I am. And it's been different with every child. But yeah, I mean, I think as a mom, like we have to get efficient with time and priorities. And you know, you kind of feel like you're doing all the things, but I think what really helps me, do business alongside of motherhood is connecting to my bigger why, my bigger purpose, my bigger mission, and even just this drive and desire to build a dream life for me and my family, and to turn around and help other women and moms do that too.
I love this. Okay, so I want to touch upon like three things that you said. One, what is your why? Like, what is your big, like, rooted, like, bring you to tears why?
I love it. So here's the funny answer too. My big why is the simple life. We live on 10 acres. We bought it, gosh, a year and a half ago, in a total project property. And so part of why I'm so driven is to build this farm on our property and have horses and cows and chickens. And it's like so viscerally, I can see my girls like giggling and bouncing on the back of a pony. And it's like to build this experience for my family. And it's so funny because a lot of clients that I work with, it's like their why is to have a life like that too. And Like, you know, I don't, of course, nice purses are amazing, but that's what I want to do. Like, that's my why. And then to help other women do that too.
Yeah. Oh, Kurt and I have so many plans for like homesteading and like buying a shit ton of land and like building all these things. And like, oh, so it makes me so happy to hear that you're doing that. 'Cause like we're doing van life right now, but I know that the next evolution of like this like freedom is really like space, like a lot of fucking space. So, oh, that is so cool. And I'm just like picturing too, like the kids and the animals and like playing like the photo memories that you'll have from that. Like, oh, that's enough to bring you to tears.
Absolutely. 100%.
I love that. Okay, so I feel like this will take us on a rabbit hole. Like, I want to talk about identity because the concept of like death and rebirth, obviously in your business, it's like as you're building a business, that's like permanently what it is. It's like you die and you are reborn like every fucking day. You know, I literally feel like every day I'm like, oh my God, I've lived like a whole year and a day. Like, oh, you know, but I can't. I mean, I'm not a mom yet. I have a son that's a dog. That's my kid, you know? So tell me more about this, like death and rebirth as it relates to motherhood and while also now running the business. I would love to hear the juice around like who were you and like this evolution of Brie and who you've come to be and like seeing all the past versions of you, like a stack of photographs. Like, yeah, that's like all I'm seeing right now.
I love it. Yes. So I love that, like the stack of photographs. The Brie before kids was fearful and timid and scared to be seen and heard. And I mean, like going back years, I struggled with an eating disorder and, you know, trying to fit in this box of perfection that I had no idea who I was because I was trying to be quote unquote perfect. And motherhood really stripped that away because suddenly it wasn't me, it was my kids and a purpose so much bigger and so much greater than me. And I was this protector of them. Like I had to find my voice, I had to find out who I was so that I could nurture and love and lead and guide and support them. And I think it's intensified in some ways with every kid. And it was like the career was who I was. And then I was a mom. And then I wanted more than motherhood. I didn't just want to be a mom, but I wanted to do the more so that I could have this beautiful life for me and my family. And so I think with each child, I found my voice more and more. And it's so like I still haven't put to words exactly like my third baby. It was this that was like the true entrepreneurial fire that was lit under me. And I don't, it was like literally she popped out. And even when I was pregnant with her, it was this very, I went inside. I didn't show up on social media. I didn't, it was like I just knew I had to like nurture and sustain my energy and like growing her. And then the second she came out, it was like the floodgates opened. And I still haven't exactly quantified or like put to words, but I mean, she's what, 2 and a couple months now. And I mean, it is, has been this rapid fire of growth and expansion and exploration and building something that's going to leave a legacy for our family.
Oh, you know what, like this brings to mind is like, it's almost like you spent the last however many years like birthing children, you know, like that's like raw, creative life force, life-giving energy, right? And it's like when you're literally creating a human inside of you, not that it's a conscious practice, it's like just happening. It's like you. I can imagine. I mean, I don't, there's no research on this, but I am actually really curious to know, like, do we as women actually have way less capacity to create like creative things other than our child? Because like if we have 100% of our battery of creativity is like maybe 90% of it is going towards making a baby, like creating a life. Like you only have 10% of your battery to create a business, create in your business. And it's like you only have so much energy, you only have so many resources. Like I can see like, okay, you push the third kid out and then you're like, wee, six figure business, you know, because it's like this buildup of like desire. And then, you know, you have the kid and you're like, okay, I've completed, or at least for right now, completed the motherhood chapter. And now I'm like ready to create wealth and money and business and pour my energy into creative projects. And like, oh my God, like, does that feel true? I'm curious.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think each pregnancy for me got harder on my body and took more resources, you know, maybe because I was running around chasing toddlers. Oliver's were pretty close in age, but like, yeah, that third pregnancy, I napped every single day, while my two older, but still young children napped as well. And it's like, I could not have functioned without those daily naps. So 100%, I think all of our like resources, like physical and mental, go to birthing or like growing and birthing those children.
Yeah. And I want a permission slip too for like all the moms that are expecting or that have really young kids. Like, it's like, don't put the same like pressure on yourself to create or to have the success as, first of all, men, let's be real, but also women that aren't pregnant or that don't have kids, because that's a whole different caliber of situation. And I think it's so easy for moms. I mean, I would love to hear your experience of this, but like, it's so easy for moms to kind of underestimate how much effort and energy and love and care it takes to take care of kids. And then you expect the same level of output, with your business. And that's not always possible. And it's like, how do you like navigate that? How do you manage that? Like, have you had moments in your journey where there's like, maybe comparison comes up and your ego's like, ah, I should be farther along right now. But like, I have three kids under the age of five and they're running around like little chickens and I have to take care of them. Like, what?
Yes, those little chickens. Yeah, very much so. Absolutely. I've had, or I'm like, well, that's, you know, easy for them. But also I think that like part of the reason why I think it's so special to do this in motherhood is that you, like, we get to write our own rules. We get to write what's possible. And we also get really freaking efficient. Like, I have my to-do list and I have windows of time and I get shit done. And that, I think that makes us like superhuman in a way. And even like, so one of my signature program is helping moms launch and book out their virtual assistant businesses. And what I've heard from the mouths of clients who hire virtual assistants is they would prefer to hire moms because moms are so efficient and, you know, kick butt at time organization. And so I think it's like really when we get to lean into that as our superpower, like we get shit done. And then the other thing that I see, and this is something I support my clients with a lot and something that I had to go through in my own journey, is when we become moms, we have these different parts of our identity. And a lot of times we silo them, we keep them separate. So biz life has to be separate from mom life. And, you know, mom life is separate from who I am as a woman. But then we have these identities that compete with each other. And they're all like, I am me, listen to me, this is me. And, you know, it's the moms who are like, oh, well, I can only work if like I have the door shut, my kids can't see me working, they can't see me on a computer. That just leads to tension. And so I'm such a fan of like 90% of the time I'm at my kitchen table, my kids are like 10 feet away. And well, actually one of my clients coined this. She said, be interruptible. Like, you're going to get interrupted and just be okay with that. That is okay. And like to see it as this gift and this blessing of like, I get to work alongside my kids and create this legacy for my family. And like, I get to be there for any need that they want, but also I get to do my own thing too. Like, we get to choose how we want to see it. And instead of like siloing those identities, it's so powerful to just get to be all of you at the same time.
Yeah. I have like such a clear visual in my head of that happening. Like just being like, wow, this is insane. Like I'm able to run my business, make money, support clients and be with my kid. Like I don't have to, there's no sacrifice. I don't have to choose at all. I get to actually have everything I ever wanted and make it work for me. And I will not be sorry for that. Thank you very much.
Yes, unapologetic. I just love that both of us have programs in our offer suite called Unapologetic.
I know. That's what I knew. I was like, she's got to come on.
I love it so much. I do too.
I want to talk about prioritization because I feel like this is actually something that's huge right now that's coming up for my clients, especially in my masterminds and in one of my signature programs, Badass Biz School. We've been talking a lot about where your energy is focused, right? And that it's not about time management as it is more about prioritizing management, right? Priority management. And there's this principle called the Parkinson's law. And it states that tasks shrink or expand to the time allocated. So if you give yourself an hour to do something, you will do it in an hour. If you give yourself 3 weeks to do something, you will do it in 3 weeks. And I kind of feel like this is what you're talking about, because as a mom, you're not only taking care of yourself and, you know, cooking for yourself and your family and working out and sleeping and doing your self-care and building your business, but you're also managing the lives of three little ones, and you're, you know, you have friends and you have a life and like hobbies and like, you know, what are the other things that are going on? And I wonder if like, this is kind of the principle or the law that you're talking about. It's like, if you only give yourself 3 hours to work a day, you will get everything fucking done. But if you give yourself, but this is why the fucking 40-hour work week is so inefficient, because it's like, you're going to give someone from 8 to 5 to work. You're going to expect them to work that many hours in one day over and over and over and over again. Are you kidding? We can't even, we don't even have the attention span to do that. It's not that people are ADHD. I mean, yes, they are. I am actually, but it's that you can't expect that much focus for that long over every single day. So it's almost like, is this kind of what you do? Like, you either time block or you give yourself small windows of like, all right, I got to get fucking shit done right now. You know, like how do you prioritize? Or like, give me some, like, I would love to hear like your practical things that you do, whether it's like, you know, writing stuff down the night before, I don't know, whatever your things are, like, spill the tea, because I feel like my people need to get their shit together, get organized, and like prioritize everything. And I'm like, we're in that season. It's like, it feels like we're in Virgo season, but we're not. Like, I'm like, we need to get organized.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Okay. And Parkinson's law, I've never heard that before, but yes, 1000%. Yes. And I'll share all like my organization prioritization hacks, but this makes me think of when I first launched Mom to VA, which is what my program's called. It was a 4-week program, 4 weeks to launch and book out your business and hit an income benchmark. And my clients did it in 4 weeks. And then I was like, you know, I want to give them a little bit more time. So I shifted it to 8 weeks, and then they would do it in 8 weeks. And I've just increased, but I'm also, I just increased the program to, it's a 6-month mastermind now, but also the income benchmark has gone up significantly. But I have to laugh, because it's like, when they had 4 weeks, they did it in 4 weeks, and now they did it in 8 weeks. And now, you know, but we're also, the 6-month is calibrating to, you know, much higher than what the 4-week benchmark was. But yes, I can so see that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's so cool. You guys listening right now, like, this is a fucking hack and a half. Like, it doesn't need to take that long. Like, it really doesn't. It really doesn't have to take that long. And when you give yourself less time, you will get shit done. And that is the vibe, because nobody wants to be half-assed working 10 hours a day. You know, the people that say that they're working like from morning to, I'm like, what are you doing? You know, unless you're building like 10 separate businesses and managing all this, like, you are not being efficient with your time. I personally built my business with a full-time personal training career. I built it in like 1 hour to 2 hours a day. Like, that was it. I spent most of my time fucking around, working out, having fun. Like, and I used to make myself wrong for that. I don't know if you ever have navigated this, but I used to feel bad about the small amount of time that I would work. But when I did work, I was in like hyper-focus mode. And I think also, because a lot of the listeners have ADHD or are very multi-passionate, they're doing a lot. I think this is like a permission slip of like, guys, it is okay. If you only like, if like, stop making yourself wrong for procrastinating. It's just that you've been giving yourself way too much time. Just know, okay, if it's due on the 16th, then block out 1 hour on the 15th and know that it's going to happen then. Don't stress over it for the next 2 weeks. You know, like, it's okay.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It makes me think, one of my favorite ADHD entrepreneurs and leaders is Andrea Crowder. And she talks about that, like, it's this momentum and flow and like energy rich. And she's like, I can get more done in 3 hours than people can in like 2 days. And so really like leveraging that momentum and like, you know, the rivers are like, they don't think about the, like, they go where there's the path of least resistance. So yeah, I love all of that is, and like, so for motherhood, how it applies, for example, like 2 days a week, like Tuesdays we're at gymnastics for the first half of the day and we get home and it's like right to lunch and then getting the kids down for naps. My oldest is in kinder, or sorry, in first grade. And then the rest, the other two are home with me. And so I have about 2.5 hours before we have to go pick up Harper from first grade. That's my work time for the day. And so, you know, for that, like some of my prioritization hacks are pen and paper. I'm a pen and paper, like to-do list. I just brain dump everything that I need to get done. And then I'll rank it in order of priority. And anything that doesn't get crossed off that day goes to the list the next day. And again, like ranked in priority. And so when I have the open windows, like the nap time hustle is what I call it. That's kind of just what I do. I go through that. And that's what I did today, you know, before we were on Zoom, was kind of working through my list. I'm like, okay, I need to get this done. And I love Google Calendar too. And I will also intentionally, like, I have Calendly set up. So all calls will like land and then sync on my calendar, like client calls and whatnot. And then so I'll look at the calendar in the morning and my to-do list, and I will literally block off spaces so nothing can land on there. And those time blocks are when I'm like, okay, this is my kick-ass time, like working through the list.
Yeah, I love this. Okay, good. This is this just that just yes, just yes. When you take control of your time, you realize how much time you have. You know, the people that say I don't have enough time, it's because you're just letting the time just be the time, and you're like la la la. And I think to your point, it's like I love nap time hustle. Like, I wonder how we can all adopt this little, like these little micro sprints throughout the day. 'Cause I feel like this is what makes business way more enjoyable and attainable and success. Like, oh, I can do that, you know? But when people are like, I have a 17-hour morning routine and I work for 17 hours a day and somehow I, you know, whatever, spend all this time meal. It's like, what? Like, I don't want to be successful if that's what it's going to be like, right? And I'm a fan of a very short morning routine, like getting in my workouts, getting in, getting out, like just not fucking around so that I can chill and not feel like anxiety or guilt when I'm relaxing. Usually, like a lot of my clients will be like, oh, I just feel like a lot of anxiety. I'm like, well, okay, so let's actually take a look at your time. And like you're saying, like brain dumping, I'm such a fan of brain dumping and just doing what's most important, not what's easiest. And I think that can be like a habit or a tendency to create is like instead of doing the easy things, like, yeah, that's going to give you a quick win, but like, what are the needle moving things? You know, like, what are the money making things? Like, what are the impact driven things? Because, like, most often, like, there's so many things on that list that like don't really matter that much, or there are things you think you need to do or should do. They're not actually the needle movers. How do you decide what's important and what to focus on?
Good question. So I have my list in front of me here and looking at it. I mean, a lot of it too is like kind of long range, and also with the gauge of will this feel good to have done? Like it might, you know, I might resist doing it, but like, will it feel good to have done? If I finished this and it was you checked off the list, would how would I feel? And so making decisions from that place. And I mean, a lot of them, like I'm looking at my to-do list today. I recorded a couple trainings in between client calls, and it's stuff that needed to happen, not necessarily today, but I also know that the stuff I take off my plate today clears up more space for tomorrow and the rest of the week and the week after. So yeah, I would say that's kind of how I gauge what to do.
Yeah, I love that. Are you somebody who like plans your year or plans your quarters, or like how do you approach this? 'Cause I think it's super different for every entrepreneur. Like, I've really never been somebody who's like sat down on like January 1 and I'm like, "Okay, let's make a business plan." You know what I mean? But like I know people that do that and I think they're a little wild. I'm like, "I don't fucking understand." But like good for you if that is what is going to help you, like, God bless your soul, go do it. How do you plan?
I'm like rolling on the floor. Well, so I'm a manifesting generator in human design, which
Same.
means I'm multi-passionate and I change my mind every day about what's in, you know, like what my opinion is. Not really, but you know what I mean.
I do.
So I literally, like, even I've tried to plan my content, like batch content. I cannot. It has to be what's channeled and alive and real and true for me that day. Because I'll like write up a post for the day after. I'm like, it doesn't align with me anymore. But what I've done to leverage that, like kind of the momentum and the current and energy rich, is my offer suite is extremely simple. I have a low tier, a mid tier, and a high ticket. So, and I've played around with this, and I think you, Sam, you and I have talked about this, of like open cart, closed cart, and like launching styles. And I've realized for me, I prefer to just have open doors, and then, you know, kind of let that energy rich current and momentum flow of like what I'm talking about and what I'm sharing. So it's like the back end's really simple, which gives me the space to like let myself be led through my energy. Yeah. So no, I don't plan out like quarters, or I can't even plan out my content for the next day.
Yeah, I'm the same. It's funny. I've experimented with planning the whole quarter or trying to plan the year. It's just like you said, like I have to be behind it and I have to get my energy behind it. And for me, I've been playing this game of like, okay, I can either make a plan, let's just use Q4. I can make a plan for Q4. And then I can do all the things I know I need to do to get my energy behind the thing that I'm supposed to be doing, air quotes, on whatever, November 14th. But if I don't feel that, then I have to find ways to make myself feel that, you know? Or I can create these really simple but easy structures, like you're talking about these tiers, which I'm a fan of tiers as well, so that money can be coming in, clients can be coming in. Everything can be coming in at all fucking times. And it's just up to me to be in this constant state of excitement about the work. And as I'm creating more and pouring more into the levels and tiers, then by default, my clients are getting more excited. And then everything's growing and everything's flourishing. And it's just like a repeatable, rinseable thing that, because I was never a fan of like you and I actually talked about this. We talked about what happens when you do these like, okay, static launches where you're like it's almost like you get in your head because you're like, okay, here we go. Like it's like you're about to go down the fucking Superman and you're going up the hill, right? And you can't see the other side and you're like, okay, I gotta brace myself. Okay, it's gonna be a big one. All right, here we go, right? And then you go down and you actually have no idea what the fuck's going to happen because you can't predict the future. And so you put yourself in these like really dysregulated emotional spikes. And I'm like, I hate this. I hate this. I'm recreating my childhood experience of chaos through launching like this. I don't want to do it. I'm like, I want my baseline to just be people finding me and joining me. People finding me and joining me. I'm always launching. I'm always selling. It actually feels easier for me to always be selling because then it's not a big deal. Because then it's not this thing in my mind where I get into my head and I'm like, oh my God, and I put pressure on myself. And I think a lot of people try to force themselves into this model of business that clearly makes them overthink everything and then get into paralysis and not fucking launch because they associate launching with high anxiety and high stress. And I felt that way. And I'm like, wait a second. Let me just like think back to when I first started my business when I was teaching fitness and nutrition. I was just rolling. I only had one-on-one at the time because I didn't wrap my head around like having multiple things, but I was just one-on-oneing and people just kept coming in. And I was like, oh, there's just limitless amounts of, I had 48 one-on-one clients at one point, dude. It was fucking insane. But I was always rolling it in, you know? And I'm like, this felt so easy. Then I learned about like, launch this way. I'm like, for fuck's sake, I don't want to do it, you know? But I do think, to your point, it does take, like, this has to resonate with you, you know? If you like the strategic planned out, I'm going to write myself 17 fucking emails and schedule them over the next 14 days. And then I'm going to launch the free class and do something off the back end. And if that feels really good for you, then do that. But I also feel like maybe this is a permission slip for people, for moms, for anyone who's just like, that way doesn't feel good. I want it to be easy. I don't want to have to like, you know, like I remember even when I launched Badass Biz School, we ended up spending like, I don't know, I paid my team probably almost three times as much to work to help me build out all the things. And I'm like, was that really worth it? I don't know. I don't know if it was. I don't know if I'd do that again. But sometimes you have to do things to realize like you don't want to do it, you know? And I really feel like I'm like leaning into this, like going back to the original way of the just always launching, always selling, right? And doing these fun like bonuses for people to jump in. And like that's the fun like urgency piece to like get people in and like say yes and not like wait till fucking 2028. But it's like, all right, let's go. So yeah, thank you for bringing this here because I feel like this is a huge permission slip for people.
Mm-hmm. I love what you said about being in the, like our job is to be in the energy of excitement. Done. It, that's it. Yeah. And it's so funny because we both were launching a new big program at the same time. And we both, I think we had so many lessons simultaneously. So cool to trade notes with you in like real time of, okay, I didn't like how this was like, but also it's those what didn't feel good. And you're like, shoot, like that's, why did I do that? It like massive opportunities for growth and, you know, expansion and like finding what does work. And yeah, I found like the open where like doors are opening and then they're closed. And, you know, it created so much pressure on my nervous system. And it felt like this do or die of like, oh, is it, are people going to sign up? Like when are, you know, like, oh, and then it's the last day. I'm like, blah, like so stressful. And I felt like that I brought that energy in and like have since totally like the, and it's so funny because I ended up scrapping that program that I launched as like a standalone and moved it into like the idea that I got from that quote unquote failed. It wasn't a failed launch, but into something totally new that then has like just sold like hotcakes and I haven't even really been promoting it. It's like all in the back end. So yeah, it's through those hard moments is where we learn what comes next.
Yeah. I love that. I mean, I think, and I also just thank you for being so transparent. And I feel like that's obviously one of my like biggest values is just like authenticity. And it's like, so that everyone doesn't have to not necessarily make the same mistakes because I wouldn't even say they're mistakes. It's like, the more you do it, the more you learn, the more you realize what you don't like. And some, like, I am actually somebody who has to do something in order to know if I like it or not. Like it's quite hard for me to predict. Cause in my mind, I'm like, oh, that sounds so great. Like I'll just do this and this and this, and it'll be great. And then you do it and you're like, oh, vomit. Like, no, not again.
I'm done. Well, you see other big people doing it and you're like, well, that, I mean, gosh, if they're making $1 million doing this, like that must be the way to do it.
Right. Right. And even seeing like, I'm trying to think of some, oh, what is her name right now? I'm like literally spacing. Denise DT. She launches Money Bootcamp, right? And she does this huge manifesting challenge and she opens the doors and blah, blah. And I'm like, oh man, like, all right, I have to pick one thing. You know, I have to pick one thing and only do that and perfect this course. And meanwhile, my brain is like, fuck, fuck, I can't do it. Like, I can't compute. Like, I just want to keep creating new things. Like,
yeah.
And like, realizing like, it can sound so nice in your head of like, wow, that looks so pretty and organized and proper. And yes, I'm going to launch it this way and it's going to be swimmingly and like blah, blah, blah. And then you think about like, okay, but also like, is that what you want to do? You know, like, is it really? And then you try it and you're like, fuck this shit. You know, like I'm good. I don't want to do that. I don't know. I think there's a lot of permission here of like really finding the way that you like to make money the most and really realizing that there's so many people right now that are making so much money doing what they love in so many different ways. And it works for them because they love it, because you have to love it or else you can't sustain it. You know, it's just like fitness. It's like if you fucking hate going to kickboxing and you make yourself go to kickboxing however many times a week, you're going to fall off because you actually don't love it. You're there for the result. You're there for weight loss. That's not enough. You know, like it has to come down to this sustainable piece. So, oh, amen. Like, I feel like I'm at church right now. Launch church.
Amen. Fucking men. Oh yeah. Okay. So two things came up for me from that. One, which I want to talk about is Denise Duffield Thomas, Amanda Francis, they talk about the fact that both of them have, they have these big programs that they kind of do like the open doors close, but they both talk about the fact that they had like four people jump into their now multi-million dollar programs when it first launched. I think that'd be really interesting to talk about like the sticking power for new entrepreneurs when they don't see the enrollments that they want. But really quick, before we dive into that, what also came up for me, I just finished reading, it's like the Little Book of Abundance. It's tiny, it's like pocket sized, but it talks about like prosperity, wealth consciousness. And one of the things that it says is when we focus on the effect and not the cause, it cuts off the supply. So like, you know, if people in business are like, I want to make money, and all they're focused on is making money, they're actually cutting off their supply of money. And it's like the cause of like what generates the money. And, you know, really, it's like you focus on that and the money will come. So that just came up for me as you were talking.
No, that's so true. And I feel like that's actually at the heart of like my whole business is like, if it's not fun, I'm not doing it. I fucking refuse. I have to enjoy it. We have to enjoy it. What the hell else? Like, if we're doing this work, I am going to do this work till I literally croak, till I fucking croak. I'm going to shed years off my life if I'm not doing it in the way that I want to do it. You know, and the same for you. You have three kids. You're running around. You're living your life. You don't have time to, if you're going to be an entrepreneur, why in the hell would you not do it in the way that you want to do it? But I think it is, it's just an unlearning. You know, it's a stripping back and peeling away all the conditioning of, I have to do this. I have to be this way. I have to show it this way. I have to. And it's like, what if you didn't have to do it anyway? And you got to just do, if you could do whatever you wanted and made money from it, like this is a journal prompt. If you could do whatever the fuck you wanted and get paid, what would it be? And then write that down and start doing it that way and stay with it. Like you said, we'll talk about staying power, stay with it. And you watch, baby, you fucking watch, because it will work. Because you'll be so excited about it. Okay, let's talk about the staying power as an entrepreneur, because I think this is something that newer entrepreneurs need to hear, because they're expecting results right off the bat, which sometimes that can happen. You know, it's like magic, massive wealth can happen. But let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm. So I have a good personal story that relates to this. Over a year ago, actually, let me back up a little bit. So when I made the choice to be a stay-at-home mom, I still wanted income, connection, purpose. I jumped into the direct sales industry, and I did that for about 5 years and worked my tail off and eventually grew a large business, got to travel, speak on stage. Like, I hit number one in sales in the company. But like, the commissions were our monthly grocery bills, a family of five. And I literally was working like glued to my phone, like all day. And it's like that hustle of like, you only get paid if people buy or join from you. And my husband said, all that time and energy you're putting into someone else's business, what if you were to do that for your own? And that was what really planted the seed of entrepreneurship for me. And it was like, as soon as he said that, like, integrated into my body, and then working in my direct sales business felt so out of alignment. But here's the thing. And I think this is so real. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs see this, but a lot of them give up. Is one of the first things I did was hire a business mentor, and I hired more. I kept investing because I knew I had to learn new skills. I'd never done this before. And I also had no idea what I wanted to do my own business on. So I needed to get clarity. But in 6 months of, and I was showing up daily, I was doing the thing, studying strategies, implementing. In 6 months, I had made $132. I had launched three different offers or programs, and it looked like it wasn't working. And my husband even said, he's like, okay, I think like we got to put a kibosh on this, like stop investing. Like maybe you go look for a real job.
Yeah.
And you know, like this isn't working. And I was like, fuck that. Like I cannot work for someone else. And like, I just, and one of my mentors was like, okay, it's time to get resourceful. Like do what you got to do. Like you need to start making money. Like that's the point of the matter. And that was when I found the virtual assistant industry. And I like saw it. I was like, whoa, like so much is possible here. I booked out my business really fast. Then people started asking me how I did that. And so that's why I launched Mom to VA. And I mean, literally from day one, Mom to VA sold. I think in like 10 months, it's over 200K in sales. But that's on the back end of fucking three failed launches, like $132. And I feel like, and I could have, and I also feel like a lot of people would have given up at that point, and I didn't. And the only reason I can say I've since made 200K in sales is because I failed a lot before I got to something that sold. I sold
Oh,
that didn't sell.
dude, I'm so glad you shared this story, and thank you, because that has not been my experience. I feel like I've had like a, it's just been like a trajectory upward. It hasn't been like insane. I have had moments of that, right? But I haven't had that like nothing, 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 or you know, $132 isn't nothing, but compared to what you've done. And then it fucking pops, you know? And I think it truly is this piece of alignment. It's like when you find the thing, or you position yourself in the right way, or you find the industry that's like, holy shit, this, right? Like I have a client who she had made no more than $200. We found the industry, positioned her, boom, 10K. Like it was like so quick, because it's like when you, oh, I have goosebumps as I say it. It's like you are going to face the resistance. Like don't make it mean that it's not meant for you. In your soul, if you know, you know. You know, there is a time where maybe you've been pursuing entrepreneurship, but it's actually not what you're supposed to be doing. Like, there's not everyone's supposed to be an entrepreneur, first of all. I really believe that. But I do believe that anyone that feels that call to be like, I got to do my own thing. I fucking know it. I know it. I just know I will not be happy working for anyone else. Like, freedom is what I want, and I want to be my own boss, bitch. Like, if that's your calling, if that is the fire inside of you, you have to trust that. And to your point, investing. When you're making $0, like investing when you're making $0, like normalizing that conversation, because I think that there can be this like, oh, when I make blank, then I'll invest. It's like, no, that's not how it works. Invest so you can make all the money. Like, invest so you can get yourself in the room and hold yourself accountable and get the clarity and get the tools and the strategies and the resources. And I think a lot of people do this backwards. They wait until blank to do blank. And it's like, no. Now, like right fucking now, baby. And so, damn, it's so cool too, because I see you in your gift, like doing your thing, and it's like my brain's like, well, yeah, of course, like of course you've had this much success. I know you're like claiming 100K months. I'm right there with you. I'm like, let's fucking go, $1 million a year, like not just millionaire, like not just 7 figures created, like 7 figures in a year, like that's inevitable, that's happening. Period.
Yeah,
Okay,
it's
cool.
done.
Yeah, it's like already in the fucking ether. There's a timeline in which that's happening. I can see it. I can feel it. I'm sure you can too. And it's like, wow, the more that we really only start doing the things that are the fuck yes, that, especially as a manifesting generator, we really operate from that like sacral authority of yes, this is it. That is not it. Anything that's a maybe, anything that's a lukewarm yes, anything that's a, that's not a yes. That is a no. Like it has to be the fuck yes. And it sounds like what you're saying is like the VA industry was the fuck yes. And then the mom to VA program was the fuck yes, because that's been your journey. And it's like, duh, yes. And no wonder why it's had such raving success, 200K in 10 months. It's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of it comes to, it's like in business, we want to teach or like support people with the things, but we have to go solve our own problems first. And then we can turn around and solve others. And like my thing was, I did it. I didn't know what to teach on or what to create my business around. So I was trying to like put things in a box. And it wasn't until I really solved a tangible problem in my own life that I could then go help other people solve a tangible problem in theirs. And all that, like the 6 month space of it looking like it wasn't working, I look back now and I'm like, it was all compounding, all those skills, the experiences, the quote unquote failures. Like it allowed me to, once I found that thing, move it really, really fast because I had been studying for 6 months and showing up for 6 months.
Yeah. That I feel like that is the lesson through and through. It's like the staying power and the having the faith in the invisible results. Because it's like going to, I always go back to fitness just because that's my background. It's like if anyone has ever, you know, wanted to get really healthy and strong and fit in the gym, for the first 4 to 8 weeks, you see nothing. You're going to the gym, but nothing changes. You're eating healthier, but nothing changes. You might feel better, of course, but physically, like, you know, when you look in the mirror, not much will be different. It's not until week like 12, maybe 16, that you start seeing the change. But if you gave up on week 8 because you weren't seeing the change, you would never get to reap the rewards and results of week 12, 16, 24, etc. And it's like, it's like such a faith game. It's such a self-belief game. It's such a like, and to your point, like having the big why, like big bring you to your knees why of like, I'm not stopping. Like, I'm not stopping. I will be resourceful as fuck. I will figure it out. I will do all the Googling. I will go to YouTube University. I will invest in myself. I will hire the mentor. I will be in the rooms I know I need to be in. I will go to the retreats. I will be in the spaces because I'm doing whatever it takes, you know, and that's a special unicorn type of entrepreneur. And I know that's who you are. That's who I am. Like, that's who the women that are listening to the show are. Like, they're like, I'm determined to fucking figure it out and do what it takes. And it's like, look what happens when you do, and you just keep going.
Absolutely. And it's like making future facing decisions, like not from like what you said of like, well, I don't have the money to invest, so I'm not going to. It's like, well, that would actually, if you learned a new skill set, like that would actually solve the problem of why you don't have money in the first place. And, you know, like getting in the rooms, like going to the events, like you said, is like that, who would that six figure person in your business, what would they be doing? What would they be what would they look like? What would they say? What would they wear? What would they create? Like, that's what you have to do now before it's in your external world.
Yes. Yes. Law of assumption, baby. Like, go ham on acting as if. Like, this is my favorite concept. I feel like that is the magic. Like, just be it. Be it till you see it, baby.
Yeah. Well, and even relating that to like fitness and exercise, with kids, I always struggled with, I would like put my workouts off until like nap time or the kids went to bed. And then it was like circumstance, like, oh, I'm really tired. And so I had to literally, I rewired my identity to, I am someone who works out before my kids get up. And that was it. Like when I had just told myself, like, that's who I am. I mean, I consistently for almost a year now, 3 to 4 times a week, that's what I do before my kids get up. Cause I am someone who works up before my kids get up, works out before my kids.
Right. Cause that's your identity, you know. Actually, funny story. And then we'll wrap it up. Like 2 weeks ago, I had this fucking moment in my life where I was like, I cannot snooze through another goddamn alarm. I am literally going to lose my mind if I snooze through another alarm. Like, I would, you know, you hit that breaking point and you're just like, for fuck's sake, I can't do this anymore. And so I looked at Kurt and I was like, never let me sleep through another alarm. And he's like, okay, challenge accepted. Right. And I also don't expect him to like be my alarm clock. And he said, the next morning, the alarm went off at like 7. And he said, first alarm, gang. And I was like, oh my God. And so every single morning since that morning, I've woken up and said, first alarm, gang. And then I get out of bed because I'm adopting the identity of first alarm, gang. First alarm, gang doesn't snooze. First alarm, gang doesn't keep sleeping. She gets the fuck up. And I'm like, okay, if I'm going to change the goddamn world, I got to be part of first alarm game. You know, I need to go to bed a little bit earlier so I can get up for my goddamn alarm and get off social media or do it. You know, like it was just such a funny like identity shift of, I used to be somebody who snoozed. I don't want to be that person anymore. So first alarm game, it is.
Yeah. It's like an identity. Like that's who you are.
Yeah.
And you made it fun too. It's like, how could you make it fun?
Yes. Yes. I think these are the pieces, guys. Fun, identity. I mean, that's literally full circle moment of, we talked about at the beginning, the identity, death and rebirth, and making sure you're enjoying the process and making sure that you're staying in the energy of excitement. Like, oh my God. Brie, this convo?
So good.
Yeah. This convo was fucking fire. I'm like, I think we need to make like more than one piece of social media.
Yeah. Well, you're coming on my podcast next, so we'll keep diving in.
Yo,
part 1 and part 2.
Yeah. Please go follow Brie. Brie, where can they find you?
Yeah. On Instagram, my handle is at Hey, H-E-Y. It's I-T-S, Brie Kane, B-R-E-C-A-I-N. Come drop me a DM. Let me know what you thought of the episode. I cannot wait to hear from you.
Amazing. Yeah, go check out Bree. She's so fun and also like spicy and sassy, which is how I like it. You know, I'm like, oh, I knew this was gonna be such a good energy conversation. And just thank you for being unapologetically you, for showing up, for sharing all the stories. And we dove into some really juicy topics today, guys. And I really feel like maybe give this episode a second listen. I feel like you're gonna get something different the second time that you listen. You know, maybe listen once when you're in nature and once when you're at the gym or whatever it is, but let this soak into your body to really like absorb all these upgrades. So please tag both of us on Instagram at Sam Altieri at Hey, it's Bree McCain. And we love you so much. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you on the next week's episode. Bye, guys.
Bye.